Many of you, because they've been a part of the Grace family for, we kind of tried to come up with a number, somewhere is over 20 years, 23, maybe 24 years. This couple has served faithfully in the field, and they've also served in preparing young missionaries to go to the field. So I would like to ask everyone to give a warm welcome to David and Catherine Love.
Thank you, sir. Well, good morning, folks. It's great to be here. It hasn't even been a year since we were here last. I think it was for the missions conference in May sometime last year. And so it's always great to make a trip out here to St. Helens. Catherine and I both grew up in Oregon. So I was actually born in Eugene. And I grew up in a little community called Pleasant Hill. And Catherine grew up in a little town called Cottage Grove, where her dad was a CB pastor. And we actually didn't meet, though, until we moved to Portland to go to university. And a mutual friend introduced us to each other. And so we really have deep roots in Oregon. We still have family that still lives out here. And although God's trajectory for us took us out of the state of Oregon and around the world and now serving globally, but located out of Colorado. It's always great to come home to the great state of Oregon. So we're delighted to be here. Many of you remember that we used to bring our little kids back in the day. Our little kids are now 30 and 28, something like that. And actually, we have two grandkids and a third on the way coming up here on May 8th, I believe it is. And so our daughters are doing really well, both happily married and living in Colorado near us, which is when you take your kids overseas, you never know what's going to happen. And so we're just really blessed to have our kids and grandkids anywhere near us. And so we're thankful for that. And they're doing really well serving in their churches and serving the Lord in interesting jobs and working in the community as well. So it's a little bit about our family. Of course, we love our grandkids. And so our oldest granddaughter is three and a half now, I guess. Our youngest grandson is just over a year. And as I said, we've got one on the way that we're delighted about. And that's with our youngest daughter. It'll be here first. So ministry-wise, as he mentioned, we've been serving with World Venture for 25 years. We actually served overseas short term in 1987 in Germany and in Italy. We were actually just dating at the time. We went on short term mission trips to be able to see if God wanted us to be involved in missions. And that wasn't really our trajectory at all. I was studying business and I wanted to be a rich CPA. That was my goal in life back in college. But during my college years, God got a hold of my heart about the needs of the world, the spiritual needs in particular in Europe. And so we ended up serving for a year in Jordan in the Middle East back in 1992 and studied Arabic and served in Arabic-speaking churches that were there in Amman, Jordan. And that really set our trajectory for the future as well. And then God opened up, after being here in Oregon for a number of years, in the Portland area, I worked as a CPA in Hillsboro and then also worked at Warner Pacific College in Portland. And while I was going to seminary, and we were also involved in youth ministry. And so God was just preparing us for what was next. We didn't know what was next, but we were able to go and serve in Germany for 10 years. And we were actually there as the short-term coordinators. So we had an opportunity to be able to bring over people from the States and put on evangelistic English camps during those 10 years. We saw a lot of German and Swiss and Eastern European teens come to know Jesus through those evangelistic English camps. And so then about 10 years ago, actually it'll be 11 this summer, God called us back here to serve from our missions headquarters. We never had any intention at that time of leaving overseas missions. We absolutely loved serving the Lord overseas, and we actually, it was kind of a sacrifice for us to come back here at that time because we just really felt like there was more that God had for us to do overseas. And so we came back and served in mobilization, helping to send out new people to the mission field. A couple of years into that, Catherine started mentoring people. And as I mentioned to you before in past visits, she's had the privilege of mentoring, I would say, probably close to half of our current global missionary workforce that's out on the field. And so she walked them through the whole process from being appointed as missionaries and learning how to raise their support and go through all of that ministry and the challenges of being able to move their families overseas and all of that. And so Catherine's been doing that for about 8 years, something like that. And but actually, for both of us, we are in a season of transition in ministry. We're actually both starting new ministry roles right now. Catherine is moving from mentoring our folks through that process to training our people. And so she actually has a master's in intercultural studies from Western Seminary here in Portland. And so she's now going to get to be focusing on training our new workers and our workers who are out on the field as well, and helping them to be more effective cross-cultural gospel disciple makers. So, and then for me as well, I'm moving into a new role July 1st. I've actually kind of started the transition a little bit as my current boss is retiring, and I'm actually going to be overseeing our global missionary workforce, about 360 workers all around the world starting July 1st. And so I'm excited about that, but I also would appreciate your prayers. It's a huge responsibility. We send people into places where they're in harm's way. We send people into places where the government does not want the gospel to be preached. And so overseeing all of that and helping our workers to be able to thrive in life and ministry is really my goal. It's kind of the theme I'm taking into the future. And so as you think of us and you think to pray for us in the weeks and months to come, would you be praying for us as we move into these new roles and take on new responsibilities, and also that we would steward well all the things that God is putting in our under us for our responsibilities. So couple of things that I'm really excited about moving into this new role. One is this leading our global strategy, and it's just so important, folks, that the gospel is going forth around the world. And as we look at how the world is changing, we as a mission and as people in leadership in the mission, we want to be making sure that we are still having gospel impact in communities around the world. There's a lot of great things that we can be doing around the world, helping people, but we want to see people's lives transformed for the sake of the gospel. And as I said earlier, I want to see people thriving in life and ministry, and I also want to be developing our folks, helping them to constantly be growing and learning to be able to serve the Lord better cross-culturally. So that's kind of a little update about where we've been and what we've been doing and how you can pray for us right now. And as I transition here into a little bit of a devotional, I want to just take a look back at what we talked about last year. Does anybody remember us talking about that Jesus said, "I will build my church"? It's an important thing, my friends, because in this world with so many crazy things happening and all the challenges that I was just describing, we can take a step back and take a deep breath as individuals and as the church in the world and be reminded about the fact that Jesus is the one who said, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." And I mentioned to you last year when I was preaching about that, that the gates of hell reference is a reminder to us that a gate is a defensive posture, right? Hell is just taking over these places and holding them captive. And when we take the gospel into our community, whether it's here in Warren, St. Helens, Scappoose, wherever you're from, we are taking the gospel into enemy territory. The gospel is a positive force that's moving forward. It's an offensive force. And so as we are reminded that Jesus is building his church, we can confidently serve him, knowing that what we're doing is making a difference in our communities and around the world as well. So, as I was thinking about, okay, so we talked about the importance in missions, that Jesus is building his church, and what does that look like, though, for us today? And so today I want to share with you just a little bit of a personal journey and take you on a little bit of a trip through the scriptures about a very important topic. See, I believe that God's love is the heart of missions. Why do we raise support, take our families overseas, deal with all the challenges of physical health and spiritual opposition and governmental opposition and all these things that our missionaries face? Why do we do all of that? Why do we as churches invest in people going and doing these things? And the reason is because all throughout Scripture we see that God's love is the heart of missions. And it really gets back to his character. This verse from 1 John 4:8. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. I don't know about you, but sometimes I find it hard to really personally understand, what does that mean? And so a couple of years ago, I started on a personal journey in January of, I guess it would have been 23. And I was like, Lord, I know that you love me. And I know that you love the world. But what does that really mean to me? How does it impact my life? How do I experience your love in my life? I don't know if some of you wonder that as well. It's like, oh yeah, I have a mental assent to the fact that God loves me, but how does it impact my life on a daily basis? And so I want us to look through several scriptures that God has impressed on me over the last couple of years that really get to the heart of the gospel and the heart of missions in regard to God's love. Because if we really understand that God is love, we recognize a couple of things. One is that love is a primary attribute of God, right? If you look throughout the scriptures, he reveals himself as a loving God. And so that's really important. And in fact, it's at his very essence of who he is to be a loving God. That impacts our relationship with God. It impacts our understanding of ourselves. And it impacts our relationship with other people when we truly understand what it means to love, because God is love. All right. So let's jump into a few of these verses. All right. So we're going to go all the way back to Genesis chapter 1 here. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. My friends, this is a reference to what's called the Imago Dei. Every single one of us in this room is created in the image of God. This is not just something that happened to Adam and Eve back in the day. This is something that happened to every single one of us. God has stamped us with his image. And that impacts us personally and relationally. Relationally, we have a special relationship with God. As human beings, we have a relationship that the rest of creation does not have. The plants and trees, although they are created by God and are beautiful, they do not have the image of God stamped on them. And animals do not have the image of God stamped on them, even though we love our pets, and they have personalities and all of those things. But human beings, you and me, are uniquely created in the image of God. And that impacts how we think about ourselves and other people. We have to realize how much God loves each and every one of us in this way. But it also impacts us relationally outside with the people in our families, the people we work with. Every single person that we come into contact with in our lives is created in the image of God. Even people that we despise or disagree with, every single person has been created in the image of God. And that should impact our relationship with them and recognize that, boy, even though there's some really hard people to love in the world, amen? And there are some truly evil people in the world too. But we also have to remember that the Bible tells us to pray for our enemies. Wow, how radical is this image of God in our love for other people and our relationships with others. All right, there's another component to this. I told you that we have a little grandbaby who is being baked in the oven right now. And this is an interesting day and age. How many of you have had a grandbaby or a baby just like in recent years, like in the last few years, right? Isn't it amazing the imaging that they're doing now of babies? I've been able to see my granddaughter's face in 3D before she's even born and be able to see how God is knitting her together in her mother's womb. It's amazing because King David, thousands of years ago, wrote, "You knitted me together in my mother's womb." My friends, that is how intimately God is involved in the creation of every single one of us and every single person that we interact with in this world. And it changes how we think about these things. It is an intimate relationship that God has with us even before we are conscious of the relationship that he has with us. In our mother's womb, he is knitting us together every little part. And this will be important later. All right, another verse that has really impacted me in a different way as I've been thinking about God's love. We all know John 3:16, right? But let's look at it again with fresh eyes, recognizing that how much God loves us and created us. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." Again, this verse reminds us that there are personal and relational impacts in these verses. God loved humanity and sent his son. In the scriptures, we're reminded that we did nothing to deserve his love, right? From the time of Adam and Eve, after God specially created them, and every human being since has sinned. We've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God, the scriptures tell us. And yet, in our sin, God sent Jesus, his only son, so that if we believe in him, we will not perish. That's really important to our relationship with God. That's how much he loved us and was willing to sacrifice us. He's not only created us, but he created a way for us to be saved. So, through forgiveness and salvation, we experience a renewed relationship with God. But it doesn't end there, my friends. God loves us so much that he not only is caring for us in this life, but look at this, we have eternal life. God has a sweeping plan all the way from Genesis through the book of Revelation, and we can see even in the end times that God is going to transport us into a renewed personal relationship with him when we die or we are caught up in the rapture. That special relationship is going to actually change from this earth into heaven, where we actually will live in his presence for eternity. Think about how amazing that's going to be. You know, sometimes, I don't know about you guys, but sometimes I just feel so distant from God's love, or I'm not experiencing it because of the own sin in my life or the sin in other people's lives that have impacted me. I'm sure you guys have experienced things like that as well. And yet, someday, right here in John 3:16, it reminds us that salvation not only changes our relationship with him now, but it's going to change our life for all of eternity. So, that's a little bit, just a couple of snapshots of how much God loves us how intimately he is involved in our lives, in our creation, in our salvation. He is in love sanctifying us, hopefully transforming us as we walk through this life and seek to follow him. But he also calls us to act upon that love. His love for us is not just something, it's not just a funnel that we're supposed to be taking in his love and doing nothing with it. He actually has expectations for us as well. And so what are some of those expectations? Well, here in Mark 12, we're reminded that a teacher of the law asked Jesus, which is the greatest commandment? And if you have looked at the Old Testament, you'd see there's actually a lot of commandments. There's all kinds of commandments about how the Israelites were supposed to live, what they were supposed to eat, what they were supposed to do. Like, it just guided all kinds of different parts of their lives, right? And so can you imagine if somebody asked you a question, you know, maybe about your work, where it's like you have this very complex thing that you do, and they ask you, what's the most important thing out of everything that you do in your work, right? And you might think, oh my goodness, there's so many different things and there's a lot of complexity here. And Jesus was faced with that same thing, being a rabbi. Hey, rabbi, out of the whole Old Testament, what is the most important thing? And Jesus wisely said to him, here it is. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all your soul, and with all of your mind, and with all of your strength. And the second is this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. It's really amazing to think about all those commandments that God gave throughout the years to the Israelites can be summed up in these two things so eloquently by Jesus. And what does it call us to do? These are relational aspects of how we live out God's love. Not only do we take in God's love, but we love him back. We seek to love God and to understand what that means. Now, in my journey over the last couple of years, I think one of the hardest things is, okay, Lord, how do I love you back? Well, one of the things that I've come to realize is that the way that we love him back, it tells us in John 14, 15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. So one part of it is that God is calling us to, Jesus is calling us to live out the things that he asked us to live out, right? And so part of that is here, the second one, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I was talking to a wise pastor this last year about some of this, and he said, you know, one of the things I think that we miss in all of this is that we always think about, okay, love your neighbor as yourself, but we gloss over the part about what does it mean to love ourselves? What does that mean, right? We're like, oh, okay, yeah, I'm going to love my neighbor, and we can all envision what that looks like and how we care for people around us and in our community. But what does it mean to love ourselves? You know, in our lives, we get weighed down with all kinds of baggage. Like, we have baggage from our childhood. We have baggage from our relationships. People have hurt us over the years. People have told us that, you know, we're not good enough or this, that, or the other thing that weighs us down. But that's not how God views us. That's all coming from sin that entered the world back in the time of Adam and Eve and has been perpetuated by humanity ever since. That's not how God loves you. That's not how God loves me. And so I've been trying to pray and ask God, would you show me how to be able to accept your love and to view myself the way you view me without all of that garbage that has been laid on us over the years, decades for some of us. And so an important part of this is that not only does this impact us relationally in our love for God, but it also helps us to understand ourselves and accept ourselves for the way that we are, and to be striving personally to obey his commandments. It's actually a very freeing thing to be able to set aside all of that junk in our relationship with God so that we can serve others. Because if we don't have a good view of ourselves and we don't have a good view of God's love for us, then we're hindered from loving others like Jesus says here. So, one last thing that I want us to look at here. What is all of God's love? How does it impact what we're supposed to be doing in this life? Jesus actually commanded us here in John chapter 13. And he says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." So we've seen here that God loves us in the way that he created us and put his stamp upon us. And he loves us intimately. He created a way of salvation for us so that we can be transformed in this life and in eternity as well. And he also calls us to love him, to love ourselves, and to love others. But here, this is an important part of the mission of God. God intends for people to be drawn to him because of our example, the way that we love each other in the church. That he is specifically telling us that our love for one another in the church actually draws people to Jesus. And I just want to share a brief story with you. We met a number of years ago, actually it was here in Portland, a Chinese woman. She had grown up in China, and she actually, you know, was a single child like many families are in China. And she had done everything that a good Chinese daughter should do. She studied hard. She was successful academically. She moved to America to work on a master's and I think actually maybe a PhD in the Midwest. But growing up in China, communist China, she was an atheist and didn't believe in God. And so she was at university studying, I think at the time, for maybe her master's degree. And she met a group of Christians, and they invited her in to their friend group and started hanging out with her. And she got to know them, and they became just this community that embraced her. And the thing that profoundly impacted her was she realized, you know what? These people love each other. And it was a group of Christians on that college campus. And that is what drew her to Jesus, my friends. The fact that the Christians that she was hanging out with actually loved each other transformed her life. And I just want to encourage each one of us today that our love for each other in this church, your love for other Christians that you work with, in your community, people are watching. And Jesus actually commanded us, as part of our gospel impact in our community, to love one another. So, as we wrap up today, hopefully you can read this. Can everybody read that? Is it too small? Or do you need me to read it for you? Read it? Okay. So, I want us to take just a moment to reflect as we wrap up. And so, I'm going to read these, and then I'm going to just give you a minute to contemplate what we've talked about today. All right? So, God created us and all of mankind. Wow. Amazing, loving thing that he did. He intimately cares about us and all of humanity. He loves people so much that he sent Jesus to live and die for us that we may have eternal life. Therefore, he sends us into the world We are called to love God, ourselves, and others. Love is the hallmark of Jesus' followers. And lastly, our love for God and one another draws people to Him. So before I pray, let's just take a moment of silence. You can close your eyes if you want, or you can look up on the screen. And I just want you to pray personally about these things. What has impacted you today about God's love? What do you want to see changed in your relationship with Him, your relationship with other people? So just take a couple minutes and pray about that. Gracious God, we thank you so much that you not only love the world and every single person that you have created, every single person, the billions of people in this world, Lord, you knitted each one of them together in their mother's womb. Lord, you love us so deeply that you sent Jesus to save us, so that we can have a transformed life here on this earth and for eternity in heaven. God, you also call us to love you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. You call us to love ourselves and love others. And Lord, you call us to have a profound impact on our communities because we love one another. So Lord, we recognize there are a lot of things in our lives that prevent us from remembering how much you love us, that prevent us from understanding how to accept your love. Lord, there's so many things that derail us from loving others. We pray that you would help us. Lord, we recognize that your love is the heart of missions. It's the heart of what you want to accomplish in this world and through us individually and as a church. So God, I pray as we go out this week that we might contemplate these things, that we might take the time in our schedules, Lord, to open these scriptures and look at them with new eyes, recognizing how important this is to everything that we do in our lives. And so, Lord, I thank you so much for your goodness to us, and thanks for our opportunity to worship you today. In Jesus' name, amen.